From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armia, Spain.
This is your Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's talk banished words and unbanished words. There's that prefix again, un. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas, and joining me as they do each week, language experts and New York Times best-selling authors Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Hi guys, before we really get going today, I know we want to finish up talking about the banished words of 2026 discussion that we were having last week. But first, we have a listener email to get to, and this is from Rachel. She sent us a voice memo.
Hi, everyone. Rachel in Japan again. I play a lot of games with my family, and I often find myself wondering, should I even care about the singular of dice anymore? Thanks.
Okay, so Rachel in Japan wrote and said, I was wondering if the singular of dice, die, is dead. Nice turn of phrase. I have long felt it unnecessary to teach die to English language learners, I'm in Japan, and while playing games with my kid at home. I felt conflicted about whether to bother teaching her die or not.
Okay, this is a really interesting question for two reasons. Number one, Rachel is fairly correct. We couldn't find exact numbers or anything like that, but it does appear that people say the singular dice is dice. It's the same thing. People do not say die to the same degree. Oddly enough, though, Kathy, I always said die. Did you or not?
Yes. I think it's because of mom again.
I think it's
but
mom.
I always, to this day, I say die.
Yeah.
I say roll the die.
The die is cast. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't usually say the die is cast because that sounds so ominous.
But well, I was going to throw in something really interesting because it prompted us to look the word up. And I didn't know it's related to the old Proto-Indo-European and as well Latin word for to give, do dare. And you're basically, the dice in effect comes from your given fate. You're given something that then you, I had no idea of that.
I like that though, given, well, I always forget how much gambling, how many people were throwing dice or die, as the case may be, in like Latin, you know, ancient Rome and stuff like that. It was huge.
Yeah. They're still sort of doing it now, I hear, with Lotto and lottery.
Well, I think a lot of people, in a lot of places throw dice.
Yeah, they're still going strong on that.
I was fascinated, though, that dice, as in cutting, like you dice an onion or something, comes from dice, the now, the cube.
Really? Does it really?
I know, isn't that cool?
I would not have thought that, but then when you think about it, it's logical.
Yeah, but, it's logical, but it's almost too logical. It almost seems like, no, it couldn't possibly come from that.
I know.
I get it. I also say die because my dad sort of taught that to me, you know, when I was little. But I think it's rare enough to hear somebody say die that every time I start to talk about one of those little cubes, I have to pause and remind myself which is which. Which one's...
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, which one's plural and which one's singular. So like, even though I grew up saying die for one, I have to remind myself now, I think because I so rarely hear it.
I've got to say, when I first saw her subject line on the email, it was a pet peeve and is die dead. And I immediately thought, before I read it, I thought, which is very clever, I give you credit on that one, like Rachel, but I thought she was talking about the word die as in, you know, dead.
Right.
And I said to Rose, I said, what got me was people don't say dead much anymore when someone dies.
They go past.
We use the euphemisms, don't we? Yeah.
No, we used to say definitely he died in, you know, whatever. Now we do say he passed.
I think is weird though, Rose, and Fletcher for that matter, sorry, is they used to say passed away, and they don't even say that anymore.
No, they don't. They just go past. That's one of my pet peeves. I don't like when people go, he passed.
I
would prefer like he passed on or he died or she died too, of course, or it died as well. But
I wonder if people think that they're not being respectful enough if they just say he died.
Oh, I think so. I think that's definitely it.
Which is so odd to me, though, because, I mean, like, what, I mean, ultimately, I'm saying, why is dead so, you know, bad a word?
Right.
Which brings up something, though, we want to talk, we're, Kath and I are thinking about doing a podcast on it. When you just said he passed as more respectful, we were thinking about registers of language we should really do. Mm-hmm. Because, like, we won an auction yesterday for a book. I would usually say we acquired the book at auction.
Weren't we fancy, Ross?
And it comes from a collection of a man who passed on.
Uh-huh, right.
But we really should do one of those. Because I always see on these book sites that we go to, like, I acquired this book from, and it's never I got the book from, you know?
I see, this is a pet peeve of mine, as people. My register is always rather low.
I got that book. Yeah.
I'm all about the unadorned, you know?
And actually, as we're talking, I want to throw in one thing. A wonderful listener, a friend of my wife's in Ontario, she loves the show, which really makes me very happy. However, she noticed two things, Fletcher, and I want you to be aware of them.
Oh, God.
She said, no, not with you, with us.
Okay.
She said two things. I mean, she's really, you know, really listens well. She said that Kathy and I sometimes say pronunciations.
Yeah, you do. It happens every now and then.
Oh, my gosh, Fletcher, you're fired. Get rid of him. Let's go.
I do it on purpose.
I have to tell Carolyn. I have to hand it to Carolyn. This is Carolyn from Ontario. She's completely correct. The other thing she said to my wife was, and I don't hear it, and Kathy, of course, can. Kathy Dorg.
Hey.
Yeah. Well, Dorg, you know, Kat. She said that I occasionally also have a slight New York accent in when I get excited, especially, which is when I usually am, is excited. So
yeah.
Could you hear it and tell me if you hear a trace? And that really got me because I was talking to a friend the other day, Canadian from, you know, like, I guess 50 years. But occasionally he will go Dorg.
Oh, yeah.
He gets really into something. You know, and not with dogs particularly.
You mean rich, sometimes he does the correct pronunciation.
So I want you to notice two things. Well, pronunciation, you've nailed us on. Mm-hmm. So the next one is, I guess, with Kathy is obviously New York accent completely. So you have to, but if I do it as well. I don't think I did, but.
I don't know. That I'm not sure. I think Kathy's is so robust that I don't.
That's a nice way of putting it. It drowns the rest of us out. Yeah.
But you know what? One thing about the pronunciation, I think I've never, I mean, I notice it sometimes, but it's not like a regular thing. You say pronunciation plenty of times. I think sometimes you're just talking quickly and you might be about to say the word pronounce, but then partway through you realize, oh no, I need to be saying pronunciation, and so it just comes out pronunciation. You obviously know how to say the word correctly.
Oh no, she's not at all accusing us of that. Yeah. She knows that we know.
Yeah.
But she's just saying how we do it. Oh yeah. No, she wouldn't listen to the show if we thought they were that big at all. No. I think, but actually that we can make a little lesson out of this. I think it does show how in speech pronunciations change. We speak rapidly, and then we begin to hear, and then your kid hears you say pronunciation and thinks that's how you say it.
Well,
and then it goes.
I also think that's why I think we all do that more and more since we talk about this stuff all the time. I cut much more slack. I cut a lot of people slack now because I hear myself talking. I'm a fast talker, and I will say things wrong. I can't help it. So I think I'm less inclined to point the finger and go, oh, you said it wrong, you know?
That's been the interesting thing, the evolution of our own attitudes. I think we began doing the show and we were far more, you know, like grammar Nazis than we are now. I think we become a lot more understanding. And we see so many changes in language, even in the short time we've been doing the show.
I like to think of myself as Gandhi-esque about it at this point.
I would even put you higher than that, Kathy. I would put you at a sub-deity level. Well, let's move away from self-praise.
Before we move on, I learned a new word over the weekend, and I want to... The people I asked, nobody else had heard this word. The two of you may have, just because you came from a different region, and Ross, you are in maybe a region that, well, I don't want to tip you off. The word is graupel.
No.
Hold on. Don't look it up. Don't look it up.
Okay, I stopped.
Is that G-R-A-U-P-E-L?
That's correct.
Okay, for some reason I have seen this.
Yeah.
Go on.
Oh, I want to know what you think graupel might be. I will give you no context whatsoever.
Okay. Although you gave me a slight context saying that I might know it.
Slightly.
Up here.
It's something to do with snow and something you do in snow.
Aha, close.
Okay.
Yes.
Something I know I've seen it recently.
Something you do with
that's
ice?
Why.
Something you do with ice?
So right now there's a big blizzard going on in the Northeast United States, at least. This has nothing, well, this is not related to that exactly, because, so the other day here in Wichita, in Kansas, my mom texts me and says, can you tell me what all of this blank stuff falling from the sky is? My mom uses very colorful language, so you can fill in the blank.
I like
yourself.
Your mom.
Yeah.
So you're talking about something like that's not snow, but it's like snow, right?
Yes.
Is it like hail, but slurry, like slurry hail?
Closer.
Sleet.
So it's like little hard pellets of snow, like tiny hail. Have you ever had this
happen? Oh, like the kind that go ding 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 in your car. Yeah,
it's not snow, but they're like little tiny pellets of snow.
I'm gonna look it up now, and I'm looking it up, Fletcher.
I knew I had seen it recently, but
the Weather Network, Graupel versus hail, what's the difference? Here in Canada, we've been introduced to winter weather, and several places, particularly Ontario, found themselves pelted with what looks like small hail.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's graupel.
I want it. why graupel? I want to know the etymology.
I looked it up. You can, you know, you're obviously doing this yourself too, but I looked it up and Merriam-Webster said it's a German word and it's not brand new. It goes back to like 1895 or something.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, like the German word is that, like it describes exactly that thing. It's that.
You're right.
Tiny little.
Meaning pearl barley.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah,
too.
Which makes sense because now I'm picturing it.
It's those tiny little snow pellets.
That's
English
really
is fun.
Anyway, you know, I wondered if you had heard it because nobody else I talked to, they were like, graupel? I said, yeah, it's that stuff.
Well, I'm not reading the Weather Network in Canada because they have it all over the place here.
It's also called hominy snow.
Oh, sure. That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I've never heard that, but that
makes
CNBC,
sense. Here's CNBC, Toronto pummeled by graupel. We were pummeled and I didn't even know it.
Lovely.
Oh, golly, that's fun.
Yeah.
And we also wanted to quickly finish up with the Lake Superior State University Banished Words list. Mm-hmm. And they had a list, what they said were repeat offenders, words that refused to stay banished. Sort of like that monster in the monster movie that suddenly rises out of the water again, and you thought, I got it, you know?
It is the boogeyman.
Yeah. Or my 4-year-old, whenever she wants basically anything, she is...
relentless.
She does not let go. Yes, relentless is the word.
Well, these are relentless words. We're going to see if we agree, disagree.
Okay.
Absolutely or not. Absolutely is the first word.
Oh, absolutely.
1996, 2023.
I'm absolutely fine with that. No, I use absolutely quite a lot. There are people we've mentioned a number of times that are bothered by 100%. I also use absolutely and perfect for that matter, which we talked about last week. Mm-hmm. They're sort of all in the same category, aren't they? I mean, they mean something completely when we don't literally mean that. But like, so what? It's just for emphasis, right?
It is. Exactly. It's for emphasis.
I have no problem with it at all. I use it all the time.
Yeah.
Because it's like sort of like absolutely. You're just being enthusiastic.
Yeah.
You want
exactly.
to do it absolutely.
I really agree with you. Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I really think that's true. And I mean, you know, I have no real problem with it. At the end of the day, though, do we have a problem with at the end of the day?
Okay, this was nominated in 1999, 2022, and 2024.
I don't love at the end of the day.
I don't either.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's just a little annoying. It's overused. It's just overused.
I picture this awful boss I had, one of my first jobs.
I think that's it.
And he would sort of pontificate. We have like a meeting with the team meeting. And he would pontificate at the end. He'd be at the end of the table and go, at the end of the day, Petrus, what's your opinion on this?
Yeah.
It's like, I can't look.
I'll tell you my opinion, boss. Yeah.
As soon as you said awful boss, that's it right there is what that is. Not that I have I have a wonderful boss, but my boss also doesn't say at the end of the day as far as I can tell.
See, the next one I don't care for, game changer.
I don't mind that. We talked about that a while back. It may have even been at
it was 2025 on the 2025 list, so we did talk about it.
Yeah.
I have no problem with it either.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a real game changer. I think it a paradigm shift. I mean, paradigm shift sounds sort of sloppy.
I prefer game changer to paradigm shift.
Yeah, I do too. I wouldn't want to say paradigm shift. Game changer seems to fit for me.
Yeah, I think game changer is fine.
Now the next one is the curious.
This is my favorite. Kev had a huge fight over this thing the other day. Okay, the word they want to ban is hot water heater. 1982 and 2018. An anonymous listener nominated this phrase and said, "Since when does water need hot water need to be heated?" Okay. Now, Kathy made what I think was a ridiculous point about this.
It's logical, Ross. I got a D in logic. I passed logic in college. We have to remember that.
Okay, here Kathy's
first
point
of all,
view.
I have to say, first of all, this is really a pleonasm overlap. Remember we talked about pleonasms a couple months ago? And this is a pleonasm overlap. It's a redundancy.
Yeah.
I like pleonasm overlap. Sounds fancier. But okay, hot water heater. Maybe you're heating the water, but you're not making it hot. You're making it like lukewarm or tepid.
Mm-hmm. I said, now my point of view back to Kathy was, who would ever buy a tepid water
That's
heater?
Right.
I mean, I think it's just completely, I respect Kathy a lot, but on this one, I think
that I'm being very logical.
I think you deserve that D in logic, frankly.
My tepid water heater is on the fritz. So how can you tell?
I know. No.
But think about it. So you're saying it's a hot water heater. You know, you're not just merely heating the water slightly.
I'm sorry. Next.
How about this? Maybe the water heater itself is hot.
Ooh.
Right?
I think we should move along.
Yeah. nothing to look at. See. Nothing to see here, folks. Oh, well.
Actually, but one thing I was going to say, seriously, though. We talked about pleonasms before. We should probably do another thing on it. I think they have some value. A hot water heater, I agree, is redundant. But water heater, for some reason, doesn't... I mean, I think we basically... incorporate the entire three word unit as a thing, and I think it sort of works to me. I wouldn't get rid of it.
I literally have never thought about it before this moment when you brought it up.
I actually don't really think about water heaters that often. Yeah, to be honest with you,
we should all be so lucky.
Yeah, of course you're not a warmer area. Yeah,
but we have solar panels, so
we think a lot of water heaters here.
Okay, moving along.
All right.
This is from hot water heaters to thaw and unthaw. We had answered a listener question, I don't remember when, 2-3 weeks ago, about unthaw and thaw and how they mean the same thing, like ravel and unravel. The un doesn't have the negative value that you'd expect it to.
Right. It's just kind of there.
It's just like, it's insignificant. It's just like something. But we're not talking about that un. that un is done.
We're going to un that un.
We're
going to
undo what we were talking about. We had an email from Bianca from Florida.
Hi, Bianca.
Oh, and here it is. It's a follow-up to our 124-26 episode in which we discussed un. She said, "I'm a WhatsApp user, and they have a feature they call disappearing messages, which allows messages to be automatically erased after a set time. I noticed that WhatsApp also gives the user the option of keeping specific messages so they don't get disappeared, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
The action turns off disappearing messages. They call this feature keep. Once the user has decided to keep a message, WhatsApp also gives the option to unkeep same message, which would turn the disappearing message back on. So she said, my question, have any of you seen unkeep being used this way? And what do you think about it? It ought to be fun to hear the three of you discuss this. Should we keep this usage?
Or unkeep the usage, yes.
I've never seen this. I use WhatsApp rarely, only to talk to my friends and family who live overseas. So I don't see that function. So this is like you would never use this in your speech or even written language outside, would you? Oh, I am about to stand corrected. It looks like
I have to say, because you're right. You would think not, but when we were talking about this, we started making notes, And I had something I highlighted in the notes. Mm-hmm. And I said to Ross, oh, I shouldn't have highlighted that. I'm going to unhighlight it right now. And I said that.
And more to the fact, Fletcher, do you want to undo what you just said?
No, I was talking.
We say undo all the time.
We do. I was talking about, I was sticking to unkeep specifically, not necessarily using the un to mean retract or go
yeah,
back.
Yeah, okay.
On, right?
I don't know though, because I must say, with my unhighlight, I can hear me in my head possibly saying unkeep.
I'm going to be a modified limited in between this whole thing here.
And Ross is going to be Switzerland.
Yeah, exactly. Not even anymore. Switzerland's actually whatever,
that's but right.
It's not neutral anymore either. I think that unkeep is valuable in a computer situation.
Yeah, this is where I was
basically
headed.
You're basically, literally, instantly, you know, keep, then you're doing the opposite of that.
Yes.
And you instantly see it, rather than keep and get rid of or disappear.
Okay, so you're
whatever.
Not going to say, I'm going to unkeep those clothes that don't fit me anymore.
Right. But that said, though, even when your statement, when we were doing the highlight, you said, I'm going to unhighlight. We were basically in a technical mode. We were looking
interest. That's a very good point, mm-hmm. Royce.
And
that's
I think that in that sense, I heard you say unhighlight. I instantly understood it, and I needed to. I think we were talking, which we have to do that register thing. I think unkeep is valuable and necessary, and even perhaps necessary or better in basically a written technical or a spoken technical.
Yeah, when you're referring to retracting the keep command.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes. Exactly.
Totally agree. And that's where I was going to be headed with all of that. It does bring
before
up,
I cut you off.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
No, I cut him off. Too.
But it kind of does bring up another definition of that un, though.
Mm.
Before we've talked about how un can mean nothing, as in unthaw, or it can mean not, as in like unbroken.
Mm-hmm.
But this
mm-hmm.
is
and good, Fletcher.
And this goes to when you mentioned undead a few weeks ago. This kind of un is like we've done something and we are going back on that now. We are retracting.
Right. We're reversing.
Yeah.
Un.
Yeah. We have a bunch now to go through. We're going to chat a little bit about them because I think they all are the same sort of thing. Unsend. First of mm-hmm. all, Fletcher, when do you think unsend came into being? This was interesting, too.
Oh, gosh. Well, it obviously seems like an email thing.
Yeah, you got it. You're right.
Yeah, it was the late 80s.
Yeah.
I like unsend. I mean, unsend works for me. I mean, obviously, because what else do you do?
Sure. And it's the same thing as unkeep. I mean, the command is send,
right.
And we are reversing that command.
Okay, same thing with unfollow.
Mm-hmm.
Similar.
You followed them. I'm done with you. I'm going to unfollow you.
Okay, now we have one. Unfriend, Fletcher.
Yeah. Can you
give us a rough time period for that?
Oh, gosh. Well, isn't friending someone a Facebook thing? Let's say 2005.
Let's go back a couple hundred years.
Oh, my gosh.
1659, baby.
What?
They were very big on Facebook back in the
1600s. Did it mean this? I mean, it obviously didn't mean the exact same thing, but tell me more about this.
It did mean you're changing someone from a friend to an enemy. They're
mm-hmm.
not,
mm-hmm.
which shocked me.
Mm-hmm.
As a noun, it went back to the late 13th century. There was a noun for an unfriend.
Oh, gosh, mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah, I that's a term we should bring back. Like, this is my unfriend.
Yes, I like that, too. I like that. That was really interesting. We did not expect that one.
Yeah.
And that next one is interesting, too. I think you can probably guess this a little bit. Unmute.
Unmute? Oh, that's funny. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you just take them off mute. They were on mute. I will unmute you as we are here talking to each other through video conferencing. When could you start muting your television? I have no idea. Let's say the 1980s.
Well, go back 100 years again. A couple hundred years. This is apparently the first thing we could find in the OED was 1811.
Oh.
And it has like basically unmuting a musical instrument.
Yeah.
It's the physical act.
Yeah.
That's what popped into my head was, you know, you stick your mute in your trumpet or whatever, and then you can unmute that.
Then it migrated to microphones, et cetera.
Yeah.
I was going to say, the thing that interested me, though, usage of unmute skyrocketed during COVID-19. Because during the pandemic, it was all remote work. So there was much more conversation about muting and unmuting during a Zoom meeting, say.
Yep.
So it became very widely used then.
And then we have a couple more, obviously. Undelete, which I'm sure you can guess.
Stet. I think it's stet, isn't it?
Yes.
I forgot stet. No one uses stet anymore.
But undelete is better. I think. You don't have to stop and think. You know, delete, undelete. You know, it instantly.
Yeah.
Goes back to our un thing, you know?
Yeah.
Because we used to use set when we were doing copy editing.
Copy editing. Because you don't go on and say stat.
Yeah. I remember
like what I said better than what you said.
although actually stat for like physical copy editing is easier.
Yeah.
S-T-E-T is a lot easier to write than undelete.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, I said it. Sorry.
Absolutely. So you're 100% in agreement, Fletcher.
100%. Yep.
Pronunciation. Sorry. I just thought I'd throw it in. Then we had uncheck.
Oh, like uncheck the box? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was like the old one. That was very old around 1616, but that was not to check something, like to stop it. That was very different, uncheck.
Yes.
Unchecked.
Yes.
Whatever. The 80s is when the concept of everything is from really the most of them are the 80s,
it's
and
the
then
computers.
There's that check from the 2000s, depending on.
Yeah, we have a whole bunch. And then we have unsubscribe.
But unplug.
Unplug makes a lot of sense to me where it's old. I mean, let's ask Fletcher. I just gave it up. Kathy, I'm a bad spy, too.
unplug, we've been plugging things for a long time, right? That could go back hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yeah. We found something from 1775, but my guess is it's even older than that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, electrically, though, it was the 1800s.
I don't know. People were probably unplugging their lamps in 1580, right? Forget it.
After they were on Facebook, unfriending people.
Unplugging the computer on Facebook. Yeah, exactly. And then we have a little rant about...
Unsubscribe.
Yes. Why do you read that, Kath? I thought that was an interesting...
This was another email we got. It was from Joshua, who created the word game League of the Lexicon, which is lots of fun. And actually, Ross and I contributed some things to that. And he sent us an article from his Substack called The Lexipedian. And he said his most hated word is unsubscribe. And he said his gripe, though, it's not the un. It's like that he said, I never initially subscribed.
Yes.
I'm on this list, and how can they dare say I'm unsubscribing? And I have to just read one line from it, which I just loved. And he said, every time I see the word, I feel the sting of its deceit, the disdain of the company that emailed me, and the irritation from the relentless unsubscribing I need to do. Because then he goes, he said, he's offended at this grievous abuse of the English language.
Uh-huh.
The only thing about that, though, is, and I agree with him completely on the moral aspect of unsubscribe, but that's not so much the word itself. It's the usage of the word. They're basically, he's right, they're being deceitful. You're not unsubscribing.
Yeah.
You never subscribed.
Right.
But the word itself, I think, if you've subscribed, I still think unsubscribe there is good. I think it's wrong how they used it. And he went on, actually, to mention this in the email they had when he wanted to unsubscribe, which I just love this.
This is not from, if this is this is not from him.
Oh, this is not from him. This is someone else doing
it.
No, I'm sorry.
I loved this.
But this is someone else talking about unsubscribing. And I agree with, I just completely agree with Joshua. It's horrible. But this was, do you not want to be removed from this mailing?
Whoa.
I mean,
no.
But I think that goes back to what he was saying earlier. I mean, what Josh was saying earlier, this whole thing is basically just moral turpitude.
Yes.
Because I just love that. And then he says, it goes on. This was a guy in the IEEE, is the International, what is it? Electrical Engineers Society. Yeah. And he went on about this and he said, it's the automated unsubscribe process. And he said, it just confuses, but he said, he also loved the fact that after they say, do you not want to be removed from this mailing to unsubscribe, do this. He says, this will invoke an automated unsubscribe process. In fact, it evokes an email that makes you reconfirm your desire to unsubscribe to this list that you never subscribed to in the first place.
The final thing is we were talking about the uns, and Kathy found a really interesting article with uns being used. And it was, where was it, Kathy? In the copy editing blog, you found it?
I forget, but Ben Zimmer, who writes a lot about language, is just wonderful, wrote this.
Mm-hmm. But apparently in the old days of telegrams, cable telegrams and telexes, AP reporters and the rewrite desk people would use un because it takes too long to say does not have. So you would, instead of saying does not have, you would say un has. Does not know would be unknows. does not want would be unwants, unplanned. And Kathy, you said when you were on the news station, you guys did it too, didn't you?
Yeah, because I worked at Channel 5 News when I was a kid, when I was right out of college. And yeah, the news desk, because again, everything came over like the telex and the thing was like, we had the wire running and everything was truncated. Mm-hmm. We used to use X all the time too. Instead of saying like weather, it'd be WX.
Oh, that was that's the other where, thing we oh, did. Oh, okay. I've seen WX for weather. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You X like filled in like the thing because you were trying to save, you know, type.
Yeah.
So I never knew this about un. I really love that. Huh. I mean, so it was a journalistic unverb, and we basically resurrected them in the digital age.
And someone found it recently. They were saying, it was 10 years ago now, but unhave India tsunami, please resend. Which means India tsunami story, please resend it.
Huh. Wow.
Unhave. I mean, it's interesting. And that gets back to, like, we have all this horror of the Orwellian horror of, like, you know, ungood. And we're all in there doing it.
I like un. Yeah. I'm all over the uns. I'm happy with them.
I guess. So does anyone unlike our opinion?
Wait a minute.
No,
let me figure that out.
My brain hurts. I'm unhappy.
I'm not unhappy, but we'll stop there.
You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petras records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petras from his home in Toronto, Ontario in Canada. Torin Anderson composed our theme music. Our digital team is Beth Golay and Carly Cooper. Carly Cooper is also our video editor. You can subscribe to our channel on YouTube. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org or email them at krpetras@gmail.com. You can also record a voice memo of yourself asking your question. You might get your voice heard on air. Or you can download the KMUW app and press the Talk to Us button. You can find Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
Maybe you already know about naked short selling. Maybe you personally shorted stocks yourself. But do you know about the time short sellers ruined a Super Bowl, basically?
For me, I was a little late, but red flags went up like, what is going on? This is really scary.
At Planet Money, we get the story behind the money to explain how money works. Listen on the NPR app or wherever you get your podcasts.